We'll just review quickly as Sigis Nogia. This week, as we said, last week we spoke about what happens if the lover doesn't want to pay back the loan until he receives the shtar that he had given the malva. He has his IOU, a regular shtar, and he doesn't want to give it back. He's worried that the malva is going to collect from him after he pays. So we said there was machlokas in the Gemara. What happens if the malva says, "I'm sorry, I lost the shtar. I can't give it back to you. I lost it." So it's a machlokas in the Gemara whether you could say, "Look, I won't give you the shtar, but I'll give you a receipt." So one mandarma said, it's not fair to the lover. Now he's going to have to be holding a receipt all his life because this malva lost the shtar. The other hand, the Gemara says, it's not fair to the malva that he gave a money to this lover, and the lover's going to be happy with this free money he got without ever having to pay back. Yochel hal of the chadi should eat it and rejoice that he had this free meal over here, this free ticket. The Gemara's maskana was that eved lover leish malva. A lover is considered an eved to the malva. The malva helped him out by giving him this loan. He now has the lover, the borrower, now has the lower hand, and therefore he has to accept the receipt in return for the paying back the loan. That was the way we started. Then we continued what happens if there's a standoff. He's willing to pay back the loan, but he wants to get the document first. The malva has the document, just doesn't want to give it back until he gets the money. And the lover says, "I don't want to pay you until you give me the documents." We brought from the Shuvah HaRashba that the lover has the upper hand in that case because the malva is going to get his money. What's the problem? You're getting the money. He doesn't want to give it up until he gets the shtar. You give the malva, give the lover the shtar, and then you get your money. If you're nervous, do it in front of witnesses. That's what we said. We had the whole exchange between the Erev Shai and the Divrei Gaonim, whether the Ritva disagreed or not. And the Erev Shai concluded that the Ritva did not disagree. Then finally, the other case we said was the Malva admits having the Shtar, but he says it's too far away to return. It's in Eretz Yisrael and he can't get it. So there, the halacha was the Malva can refuse to pay until the Malva sends the Shtar back, because the shtar is around and the malva has to give it to him. The Aruch HaShulchan said if you see that it's an honest situation there, so then you should accept some assurance from the malva that you'll get in a certain amount of time and pay under that circumstance. So tonight we want to talk about something. I just spoke to a few people. Everyone says it happened to them somewhere along the line where you paid back a debt. It was the same thing would be if you bought something, but we're talking about halva. You paid back a debt, either because the person lent you the money or because he owed it and he gave you merchandise. And then when you balanced your books, you see that the check wasn't paid. So the question is, are you obligated to tell the lender, we'll say we're talking about halva, to tell the lender, you should know that I sent you the check for $10,000, I see it wasn't clear. Is everything okay with it? Okay, the truth is tonight we have really three shiurim. There's three different sugyas to get to this. And what we're going to do is, our case is what happens when you find on your own that it hasn't cleared. But to know what to do, we have to talk about three different possibilities of what might have happened. And by knowing what might have happened, so then we can, then at the end we'll discuss what should we do if, you know, we find that this happened, then we find that it wasn't clear. The first thing that might have happened with the malva was that he received the check, you gave him the check, you mailed it to him, and you happened to use an envelope that was used for solicitations or something, and he shredded it. And we're talking not that he told you, he said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't get the check." He said, "I mailed it to you, and it's an envelope that says, you know, building fund." He said, "Oh, I shredded that. I didn't know it was a check in there." So, what's halacha? And we're assuming that you trust him. He really did shred it. Do you have to give him another check? So the first thing that will come to mind is to say it depends what a check is. If you recall, we learned a few years ago that there's three shitas of what a check is. According to one shita, a check doesn't have any value at all. It's just saying, tell the bank, pay to the order of this person, whatever he says to do, he has the right to demand $100. And until he does that, no transaction has taken place. The second possibility. Rav Moshe holds that a check is like money. Right? Rav Moshe says that if you pay back a loan before Shemitah, and then Shemitah arrives, and the Mava didn't cash the check yet, he doesn't have to worry that the Shemitah canceled the loan because he already got paid. That check is like getting paid. We said it's like, even though it might not be real money, but in fact people treat it as money, it's no worse than Shava Kesef. It's like money in the world. That's the second Shemitah. And the third Shemitah, we said it's neither of those, but it's like his Chayivus. By me saying pay to the order of Reuven $100, it's like I'm saying I am obligating myself to pay Reuven $100. Right? So we would say, well, if you say that it's cash, so you might be tempted to say that I paid you.
If you shred, it's like shredding a $10 bill.
I gave you a $100 bill in the mail, and you shredded it. I'm sorry, I paid you, and it's your fault for shredding it. But then you'd be tempted to say that. If you said it's the other way, you could say, look, I never really paid you until you get the money, because it's just, you didn't get to the bank yet to receive the money, or you didn't, I'm a chayv to pay you, and I didn't pay you. I just said I'm going to pay you, and I didn't pay you yet. So you would say it's totally in that. However, the Sefer we use then, Hachek Bahalocha, and many others, say that even if you say that a check is like cash, but your debt, you owe this person money now. Your debt isn't fulfilled until he carries through with cashing the check. You still owe him the money. If he chooses to be mochel and not to cash it, that's his prerogative. But if he loses it or it gets shredded, so you never paid him. So even though when you gave him, now there's no Shemitah anymore and you could buy things with checks, it's like kesef, according to Rav Moshe, and those shitas that agree with him. But until he cashes it, it's not, the loan is not paid. You still owe him the money. I saw someone said a mussel a little bit different, in a different case. And he said, it's like, I'm giving you a key to my safe deposit box. The money's in the safe deposit box. Here's the key, and go get the money. So as soon as I give you the key, see, it's really more than that. You don't have the money yet, but you have the ability to get it. If you lose the key, you can't say, look, I gave you the key, it's your fault that you lost it. It's, you know, you're right to pay for the key, you might have to pay for that, but I didn't get paid. So that's pashut. If we know that the check is destroyed, it got burnt up, it got shredded, so you have to give him another check. There's nothing to talk about. That's the first case. The second case is more complicated. Suppose the Malva says, I lost the check, and you believe him. Once again, you believe him. You believe that you sent it to him, and he had a lot of papers, and he dropped it somewhere. Maybe it's in his house, maybe it's somewhere else. He has no idea where it is. And he says, I lost it. So, at first glance, we would say, well, this is like last week's year now. Like we said last week, a Malva who has a Shtarachov, and you don't want to pay until you receive that Shtarachov. If he says he lost the Shtarachov, what's he do? Right, he says he lost the Shtarachov, what do? You write a receipt. So that would say, same thing over here. I lost the check. Give me another check and I'll write you a receipt that it's paid. I'll write you a receipt and I want another check back. What's the difference between losing this payment check and losing the shtar that proved the loan was in existence? But that's what we say at first glance. However, there's a five-way machlokas haposkim on this. We'll go through three of the shitas, and it's brought in all the moderns. So I'm bringing this. It's a pitch chua in last week's siman and dalit brings the different shitas. Right, so the first one I talked about was the Semech Tzedek, the early Semech Tzedek. And he wants to say, maybe it's not exactly like the case last week. Maybe it's not exactly like a case of a lost document, because what happens if you lost the shtar? What's the worst thing that could happen? What could happen if you lost the shtar? He'll come and find it 50 years from now, 30 years from now, the Yarshim will find it and come collect, and then you'll have lost the receipt and you'll have to pay a second time. But you have a receipt, so hold the receipt, that way you won't have to worry about it. But over here, even if you hold the receipt, you're holding a receipt that says that I, Reuven, accepted, received the payment of $1,000 for my loan from Shimon, but 5 years from now or 5 weeks from now, Levi, who found the check, they were talking not about check, they were talking about something called Amronis, if you recall. That was some type of note that said, paid to the bearer $100, or is that, not, you know, you can collect from me $100. I, Reuven, will give whoever gives me the star $100. Right? That's what they were talking about. So over here there's a new worry. So what? I wrote a receipt to Reuven that I received. So what? That Reuven gave me a receipt that I paid him that $100. But if Levi finds the star, he can collect from me and say, I don't know who Reuven is. I just know that we'll make a complete law. I lent you $100 and you gave me the star, or some other transaction happened that now I have the star and you didn't have to pay Reuven. We, you know, got transferred to me. So a receipt's not going to be so useful over here. What you really need to solve a problem is we need Reuven. Right? Reuven is once again the lender, and he wants to get his money back, even though he lost this so-called check or star, the Mamroni. He wants to get his money. So not only does he have to write a receipt, but he also has to guarantee that Shimon, the Lova, will incur no loss in case something crooked happens. Right? It's not enough to just write a receipt. You also have to protect Shimon. Right? It wasn't Shimon's fault. Reuven was careless. He lost the star, he lost the check. So you have to protect Shimon, not only give him a receipt, you have to protect him to give him some security, that to guarantee, to ensure that he won't suffer any loss if there's a crooked person comes and collects. Now, it's worth Reuven's while, because chances are that it's lost, it's in the garbage, it won't ever be found. And if he doesn't do that, he won't get anything. He's just going to be out $100, $1,000, whatever he lent. So it's worth his while to take the chance to guarantee the loan, because he won't lose anything. Because if he doesn't guarantee it, he won't get his $1,000 back. If he guarantees it, he'll get his $1,000. He might have to end up losing it if something crooked happens, but at least in the meantime, he'll have it. So that's what the Tzemach Tzedek said. In his case, there was no stop payment. There was always going to be this shash that there'd be someone coming crooked and taking your money away. So therefore, he said, not only do you have to write a receipt, but you also have to, if you want your money, you, the malva, have to ensure the lova against any loss of this star being found. The Chenda Shlomo disagrees with him based on as far as he himself says. Because he wants to say, how is this different than, if you recall, we talked about Mashkan last week. We spoke about a Mashkan, and we said that if I gave them I gave them all the $10,000 Mashkan, a watch for a $1,000 loan, and he lost the Mashkan, you can't say, well, you lost my deposit, and therefore I'm not going to pay you. All he has to do is say, look, the loss was through an onus, it was unavoidable, and I'm only a shomer sachar, and I'm patur for the avei for a loss that comes about to an onus. And so that's one deal. And the other deal, you owe me money. What heter do you have not to pay me the $1,000? I'm part of for many damages for losing your mashkon, and you are still obligated to pay me the loan. That's the halacha. So the same thing we should say here, the Chenda Shlomo says. What's happening over here? I don't want to pay you because you lost my check that I gave you. But that's a separate cheshbon. I owe you $1,000, and we just said that if the truth is you didn't cash it, you never got any benefit from it. If you didn't get any benefit, I still owe you the money. So I owe you $1,000 right now. That loan stays. I owe the $1,000. Nothing has happened to stop that loan. So what do you want to say? Yeah, but I don't want to pay you because you were careless and you lost my check that I gave you. You lost my mamroni that I gave you, and because of that, I might suffer a loss. So the malva can answer, even if I was posheya by that, I was careless, and even if you end up suffering a loss, I'm not chayv to pay for you that, because that's only a groma. It's a groma, right? You learned in the the first series, right? When am I chayav to pay damages? That's if I can go and damage you directly. If I do something that causes an indirect damage from what I did, is indirectly caused the damage, that's a grama, and I'm parted from a grama. So what did I do over here wrong? I dropped it out of my pocket because I was negligent. If I was negligent, or maybe I wasn't, I tried my best, I lost it. He says this might even be a grama digarama. It's not even a grama because when I lost it, I didn't cause you any loss. It's because I lost it. Someone might end up finding it. And if he finds it, he might find you and collect crookedly. So even if that happens, I'm not responsible for that. That's just a grama of inizakin. So therefore, the Chenda Shlomo says, where Kieger seems to agree with him, that all you have to do is write a receipt like last week's year. The fact that the Malva lost the check that you gave him, the first check you gave him, is no different than if he lost a mashkin, a deposit that he was holding. It's a separate cheshbon. It's unfortunate that he lost it, but he's not chayiv for it. Just like over there, he could say it was an onus, I'm not responsible. Here also, he could say whatever damage is going to happen is a grama, I'm not responsible for such a damage. That's what the Chenda Shlomo says. And he doesn't say, but that's part of the Tzemach Tzedek. Then you have to remember also last week we said Eved Lova Liishmaga. The Lova should have the lower hand over here because he is an Eved. He got a favor. He received money. And just like he has to hold a shover in case the Malva says he lost the shtar. So here also, where the Malva lost the check, he'll have to hold a shover and just hope for the best that nothing bad happens. That's the Chenda Shlomo Shita. The Nesivus says the complete opposite. The Nesivus says, we'll just read his lashon. He's going on the he brings the Tzemach Tzedek, and at the end he says, Lo yadati menole. I don't see where he got that from. Kevin de Loam mean rak host and shover. The sugya we learned last week said, you write a shover. That's all it said. Here, since a receipt won't work, it will be meaningless because anyone can just come and collect later. Who says that this security, this insurance, works? The lover can say, I'm not so confident that it's going to work. You're saying maybe you'll lose your money, maybe I won't find you, maybe it'll happen 20 years from now and I'll forget about it. I don't want to suffer anything because you were negligent. I paid you. I did what I was supposed to do. You lost the check. You lost the mamroni. So therefore, I don't want to have to pay anymore because the whole responsibility we see from the Gemara, and this is Ulam HaMishpat says, the Gemara is Meduyak like the Nesivus, the whole responsibility of a lova is to have to accept the receipt. Even though he's paying, he has to accept the receipt. And intuitively we hear that this is another step to say he paid back, like we said in the beginning, he paid back the loan. Because he lost the loan, he should have to pay a second time and put himself into the danger of getting collected. So that then the Nesivus says, he can say, I don't want to do it, it's too much of a risk for me, I don't want to take that risk. That's what the Nesivus paskins. The Beis Yitzchak says the Nesivus is a das yochid here, and he doesn't understand so much, but he still says you could say kimli like the Nesivus. But the Beis Yitzchak says something very interesting. He wants to say that this Nesivus is going with Shitaso, the Nesivus last week. If you recall, last week we spoke out on Machlokas, the Nesivus and Rav Kieger. Why is it, the Nesivus asked, why is there a Mando Amr in the Gemara that says that you don't write a shover? Why isn't it like the case of a Mashkin, like we just said? Right, if I go to the lender and say, okay, here's your money, give me back my security, and he says, I lost the security. We trust the Malva to say with Ashur that it was an onus, and the Lova has to pay. There's a Mandam in the Gemara who holds that if he goes to the Malva and the Malva says, I'm sorry, I lost your Shtar Chov, I lost your loan document, the Lova could say, I'm not paying you and I don't want to have to accept the receipt. But that's one Mandam. And the Siva says, how can there be such a Mandam? So the Siva answered, because when a Malva is holding a Shtar, it's as if he's already paid to a certain extent. And the halacha is, I only have to pay someone who I owe money to. But if he's holding a shtar, or he had a shtar of mine, it's like I already paid him, so I don't have to pay him a second time. That's what the Nesida said. All the other achronim asked on him and said, where do you see that we paskin that shtar home in Ligos is not kigavoy dami, it's not considered like it's collected already. Rav Kieger therefore said, we said, the others say other pshatim, but Rav Kieger we said, He said, why is it that you don't have to pay if the Malva lost the star, says he lost the star? Because you only have to pay a loan when you are sure this is going to be the final payment. If there's any doubt in your mind that when you pay, you might have to pay a second time, you don't have to pay. So until the Malva produces the star chov, you don't have to pay because you're always going to be in doubt that maybe he's going to collect from you again. So the Beis Yisrael wants to say this Nesivas over here is Lushik Tosas to last week. This is in Siman Nun, that's in Siman Nun Dalet. That this in Nesivas holds, by the way, we don't hold that way because we hold that there's Chachamei and Takana, that you still write a Shofar, even though you're not chayv to pay when there's going to be a possibility of a second collection, like the Rav Yeager, or you don't have to pay when he's holding something that is considered like collected. So according to Nesivas, if you gave him already a star, you gave him a check, you gave him a mamroni, so that's even better than last week's case. That's even better than just give, than he's holding a star chov. Here you gave him something that's a payment. So the Nesivas says, look, I gave you a payment already, I'm not responsible to give you a payment when you already have something. I gave you something that you could collect from. So based on that, the Nesivas says halacha this week, which the Beis Yisrael says is shver, because last week's halacha wasn't so muskum, and this week's also isn't so muskum. Rav Yeager, though, is Lushik Tosa also. Rav Yeager agrees with the Chen Shlomo. So he's also Lushik Tosa, because he said, what's the svara he said last week? I don't have to pay a debt when there's a chance where I'm going to have to make a second payment. So same thing over here. I don't have to make a payment when there's a chash, I'll have to make a second payment. But over here, you don't have any. There's no possibility you're going to have to make a second payment for the loan. You paid him this $1,000, you're finished with the Malva. You're afraid that someone else might find it, and because he finds the shah, he'll do some trickery, and then you're going to have to pay him because of his geneva over there. But that's not paying the Malva a second. That's not paying the Malva a second time. The only time you have a petter not to pay the money is if the Malva might collect from you a second time. If it's because you pay the Malva, there might be someone out there that might collect from you. That's a separate cheshbon, the Chen Shlomo says, the Rav Yeager says. So he wants to say it's Lushik Tosam. Now, Lamaisa, what do? You have this three-way machlokes, there are other shitas also, but we have these three shitas. Once again, the Malva says he lost the check, and you believe him. You believe he lost the check. Now, what can you do? So, first of all, it's not exactly like last week's case where he says he lost the Shtar Chov, because over here there's some danger lurking by the fact that he lost it, that a receipt can't solve. So according to the Tanach Tzedek, you don't have to pay until he guarantees, ensures that you won't suffer any loss, and you have to accept that insurance. According to Chen Shlomo, you have to pay, and he doesn't even have to give you that insurance, because that's a separate cheshbon. If someone comes, that will be a grum, and he's not responsible for that. But according to the Nesivas, you can say, I don't want any insurance, I don't trust it, I might forget about it, it might not work, you might not have any money when I need it. I don't want to accept the insurance, and I'm not going to pay you at all, because you lost the check, it's your fault, and I'm not going to pay you at all. And Beit Yitzchak says, you as a lover could say, Kimli Kinesivas, I hold like the Nesivas, and I'm not going to pay you. That's Allah Lamaisa, the way the Beit Yitzchak comes out to woman from Mishpat, also agrees with the Nesivas, even though he seems to be a Das Yachid, but the Nesivas is a Posek, and if you have this chash, you could say, I hold like the Nesivas, that since I have a threat over here of getting damaged by paying you, it's only in the Gemara's case where I have a receipt which all I have to do is hold it. If I hold the receipt, I won't have any problems. Over here, there's nothing you can give me. If you give me a receipt, it won't help because someone else will say I had the right to collect. So I don't want to accept the receipt. I don't want to accept your insurance because it could be you won't be around. It could be you won't have the money to pay me. I don't have to accept it. And that's what the Nesivas paskens. Now, Hachek B'Halacha says, nowadays, though, it could be the Nesivas will agree that that you have to pay. Why? First, he says, at first glance, our case seems even worse than the case of the Mamroni. In the case of the Mamroni, there, the person who found that star that those person were talking about couldn't collect unless he went to the Lova himself. He said, you know, you come to the Lova and you say, look, it says that you're going to pay whoever holds the star $1,000. So what happens if someone comes to you a few years from now? You'll say, look, I paid, and you have witnesses, you have a receipt, and you'll have a din Torah, and there's a good chance you'll win. But there, even there, the Nesivas says, you don't have to get involved with that. you could say, I'm not paying until you find the that Mamrani. So he says that check at first glance is worse, because by a check, the person could be anywhere in the world and take your check and cash it someplace in China so they don't even read English, they can't see the date, or you could change the date, they won't notice it, and you're not allowed to, but the crooked person can do that and change the date, and you'll see it, you might not even notice that it gets cleared for a long time and you won't know where it came from. So there seems to be even more reason to worry about the nesivus, that why the nesivus should worry over here. It could be everyone would even agree that our cases work. However, he says, since you have the option to cancel the check, you can stop payment on the check. So, the way he understands it, if you stop payment on the check, now you don't have any danger left. There's no danger left. You stop payment on the check. What if you lost the check? You're worried. So we all agree you didn't pay him yet. But you're worried if you pay him, you might end up having to pay a second time. So stop payment on it, and then you won't have any problems anymore. What happens if you're worried? What happens if you just keep bad records and you don't know the check number? Right? Suppose you don't know the check number. You know, a lot of people, you write checks, and you assume that then when you come back, you'll do it then. You don't record them. You record the ones that come back in. But now he wants to... you remember you gave him a $5,000 check. He just didn't record the number. So now you can't stop order on it. So he says, wait 6 months. And when the 6 months are finished, the check is no good anymore. And there again, the nesivus won't apply because there's nothing to worry about. Since there's no way you're going to lose, a person can use the check after 6 months. Right? You can't demand payment now, but you say, look, 6 months I'm waiting. So at that point in time, you would say that the Mava could say, look, this 6 months went up, no one can use the check, give me back the money. It's not like the case on Amrani, where any time a person comes with it, there's no expiration date on it, you have to pay it. Over here, there should be this protection to wait the 6 months. He brings down the Pitzchei Choshen, seems to disagree, and say you can even collect right away with it. But that is the second halacha. Right? The first halacha is if you know that he shredded it, you certainly have to pay him. The second halacha is if you know that he lost it, you trust him that he lost it. You're not afraid that he's holding it to wait to get the second one and he's going to go somewhere and 10 years from now and cash it. You know that you trust that he lost it. So if in the case of the Mamrani, we had a three-way machlokes that we spoke out. The Temes Tzedek said you have to pay him and accept his insurance that you won't have to pay a second time from some crook. The second shita was the Chendosh Lomo that said that you don't even have to get that insurance, you have to pay, and he just gives you a regular receipt. And if someone comes and tries to swindle you with that check, that was Grom of Benizok, and he's not responsible for that. The Nesiva said, you don't have to, all you have to do is write a shover. There's no halacha that you have to put yourself at risk of paying a second time. The Nesiva says, once he's holding that check, the way the Lomo Beis Yitzchok says, once he's holding a check, it's like you paid him already, and you're finished. And if there's any danger that the check is still around, you don't have to pay him. So we said, keenly like the Nesivus, I don't have to pay. However, this check b'halacha comes up with this svara that since nowadays our modern-day checks, we can stop payment on them, or we could wait 6 months until they're no longer valid. So at that point, there's no longer any danger of it being collected. It's like it was shredded. And therefore, it'll be sufficient to you pay him and get a receipt, and that would be the halacha according to the check b'halacha. The third case is, which could very likely happen in different types of businesses, that the lender received the check, and the reason he didn't cash it was because he immediately used it to buy something that someone came with, and he just took your check and other people's checks, and he bought some merchandise with those checks, and that other person, whoever it is, lost it. So in that case, the Mava seemingly has been paid, because he got his value not from you exactly, but he got not $1,000, but he got $1,000 worth of merchandise from this other person. But what happens if we find out that he remembers that the person he gave it to died, or he's not around anymore, they went bankrupt, it was like a econophone where they just disappeared all of a sudden, and there wasn't anyone to cash the checks. Right. So now, does the mother have a tie and say, look, you gave me a check, and it's true that I used their service for, made $1,000 worth of phone calls because I paid them with that check, but that check's never going to be cashed. The whole thing got thrown away. They got all the documents, and you gave it to someone who's, in jail. That check's never going to be used. So what's the hurry? Pay me again. I gave you $1,000, and you never paid me back. You never lost $1,000. So that's the pashas in Minchas Yitzchok. Dayan Weiss says that's no time. Look, I paid you, and so what? It didn't cost me anything. That's my mazel. That my check never cleared. And he wants to say to Machlokas. He brings the Chacham Tzvi. The Chacham Tzvi does say this halacha. It was a similar case. The Reuven lent Shimon money. Shimon gave him back a note, and he used that note to give it to some non-Jew, and that non-Jew went far away, and he can't pay him back. So he said, even though you should, the first one should try to find it, but since he can't, he doesn't have to pay. Even though he can't, he doesn't have to pay the malva again. But Titzchei Choshen brings from a Masters Moshe that he thinks to say the opposite, because the issue is like this. When I give you a check and I pay you, and you give that check to another person, what happened over there? One way to saying it, and this is the way the Chacham Tzvi, the people we would say, is what happened there was I gave you the check and you gave it to the third person, so whatever I gave to you, you now give that third person the right that you had with that check. You had the right to cash it, and now he has the right to cash it, and you don't have any rights to it anymore. Or you could say, maybe, I didn't give him all rights to it. I still have the rights over the check. I just gave it to him in return for something, and if he chooses not to exercise those rights, I can still have some ownership and exercise it myself. It's not such svara like that. But here also, when they're asking you to pay, you can say, I will look at the Chacham Tzvi, and the svara is that I gave you the check, and when you gave it to the third person, you're out of the picture, and you don't get a second payment over here. Right, so those are the three halachas that we have where we know what would happen. If we know that the mava shredded the check, you certainly have to pay him. He'll give you a receipt. If you need a receipt, then if he doesn't have to start, you pay him. If we know the mava lost the check, so we have this machlokas achronim, what you do, because it's not like exactly a case of a shomer, there's this risk that you're taking. You either have to accept the risk completely, or he has to insure the risk, or you can say, I don't want to take the risk at all, and the nesivas said we don't have to take the risk at all. The check balacha says the nesivas doesn't apply by a real check because there's no risk involved, you can block payment. And then the third halacha is if the malva used the check to get merchandise, so then pashtus is he got his payment, and even though that third person didn't end up cashing it, so you, the lover, were lucky, your mazel was that you had this $1,000 and never paid a penny for it, that's your mazel, and the malva can't demand a second payment. Now back to our case where you were checking your books and you see a check wasn't cashed. So what do you do in such a case? What do you what is your responsibility? So the Mishpatei HaTorah Shvitz says, based on what we said, he doesn't go through the whole cheshbon, but going through this whole cheshbon, based on what he says you're not obligated to do anything. He says because what might have happened over here? First of all, he's going to say, the mava will say, I lost the check, I shredded the check. But you're not obligated to believe him. Maybe he didn't. Maybe he just lost it and he's making a mistake, honest mistake, and he thinks he shredded it. People don't usually shred checks. He's just saying, look, it got thrown out and I know it's never going to, but you don't have to trust him on that. If you know that he shredded it, so then we said he has to pay. But if you call him up and said, look, I saw your check wasn't canceled. So he's going to say, oh, I shredded it. So you're not going to have to believe him that he shredded it, and therefore you wouldn't have to pay him even if he said he shredded it. And what he was saying, though, is that he said, but I lost it. Oh, I believe you lost it. I feel bad for you that you lost it. And I know that you haven't received your compensation, but I hold like the Nesivas. And I hold that I don't have to pay you in a case where I'm putting myself at risk. And it's a risk for me to pay you a second time. If that check is out there in the street somewhere. Someone's going to find it. If not now, 5 years from now, and I'm going to have to pay. After 6 months, there's no problem anymore. So Mishpat Tohi disagrees with the check balach. He says that you can't trust the banks that they're going to not cash it. He says if someone with a good lawyer or someone could get that check cashed and make a whole case out of it and make a story how you gave it to me and make a lawsuit and you wouldn't let me and you didn't have the money in the bank and I'll make proofs from it. Someone who really wants to swindle, who really wants to find some way of stealing, will steal from you and you're going to lose that way. That's number two. Then he says a third reason. He says it could very well be that the malva got paid. Because why is it that the check wasn't cashed? Because he took it and he bought merchandise at another store. So there's a good chance that he already got compensated. You owe that third party money, but you have no idea who he is. When Elio and Elvi comes, you'll be glad to pay him the money because you end up with $1,000 present over here. If that person ever shows up, you're right, you'll pay him then. So then he concludes. He said you could always listen to Mishur Zedin, call him, and if you're sure that he's telling you the truth and he gives you good security, you can certainly be machmir if you want. But he holds Lamaisa, combining all these reasons together, you're not obligated to call. The Meisha Ba'alacha, this based on the Rafa Mansi, he has a similar tshuva there, and he goes to a different part of Cheshen, but the part I wanted to say was, he looked inside, he says, remember the Shach, huh? He said, remember the Shach brought the Shulpe Gibarim many weeks ago, and he said that if it's been a long time since the person claimed the loan from you, you can assume that he was malchul to you. You can assume he was malchul. And the halacha, nowhere does it say, the shachtas tzarechin, whether it's true or not, but nowhere does it say that you have to call him up and say, are you malchul me? You can assume it. So same thing over here. You don't have to, and here he makes his chiluk. If you gave the check in his hand, if you know that he got the check, so now you can assume that, look, he had it, he's deciding not to claim it, so you can add that he was malchul you. If he sent it in the mail, now there's a chash, maybe he never got it. So then his heter wouldn't apply, and it could be a mishpat heter wouldn't apply. But if you mailed the check, you have all these different scenarios. If he got the check, he paid him, but maybe he never got it. So that would be another smach. The truth is, it's not really so good, because remember the Erech Shai said in the Shulte Gimur doesn't really mean that he was malchul. He just means that he's letting you have an extended pay period, but not that he really was malchul. So I'm not sure how good that would be.